Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk some hoops here, though. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. We bring in the great Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat in the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You know, Ira, just some Michael Beasley comments just graced my computer screen that I find interesting. He's on the Knicks. He's playing very well. The Heat will face him tomorrow. He'll face his former team. So Michael Beasley, who was drafted by the Heat 9 years ago, has played on seven NBA teams. He's had a couple of stints in China. He's had three stints with the Miami Heat. And he said, quote, "I feel like I could have gotten more out of that organization. I feel Spo could have believed in me a lot more than he did. It's in the past. There's no love lost." And then when told he went to play for Spoelstra three separate times, Beasley said, quote, "I had no choice." What do you make of that, Ira? Is it Eric Spoelstra's fault in any way that Beasley didn't blossom in his first couple of years in the league?
No, I don't buy into any of that. I think a lot of that is, I don't want to put this the wrong way, but I think how a question can be phrased to someone. So if you ask someone, "Do you think Eric Spoelstra got the most out of you?" Well, you know what? If you're a proud player, I certainly can see a player going, "No, I believe he could have done more." So that's not who Michael is. Michael is not a vindictive person. He's, in many ways, he's the exact opposite of that. Again, here's the contrast. Before that story came out, I spoke to Eric Spoelstra today at Heat practice, and I asked him about Michael, and he was effusive in his praise about how Michael did so much more than people realized for the Heat, that in his second season with the team, with all those injuries, how he became a real effective contributor, how in his last season, in his third comeback with the team, when they had the Chris Bosh issues and LeBron James was gone and Dwayne Wade was hurt, how Michael Beasley almost helped push the team into the playoffs. So honestly, when I left practice at American Airlines Arena today, I was going to write a story about how affection remains from Spoelstra for Beasley. That probably would have been my headline. And then I saw the story, and I find it hard to believe, but I can't ignore, obviously, if there's a differing view, I have to respect that as well. I don't buy it. I think what happens if you don't have ultimate success anywhere, I mean, I really wonder if you ask Michael Beasley, did Kurt Rambis get the most out of you at Minnesota?
Right.
I don't even know who the coach was, to be honest with you, in Phoenix, whether it was Alvin Gentry, for example, or your stint in Houston. You know, so you can look at it that way also. Did all those coaches let Michael Beasley down because he never emerged as the talent of the number two pick in that 2008 draft when a lot of people thought he should have even gone ahead of Derrick Rose, and he wound up going ahead of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love? So I just think it's how you ask the question. I mean, honestly, if someone was to pay me big enough money to make it worth my while, I truly believe, in their exact words, I can get most players to say anything to fit my narrative.
You're probably right about that. It's all in the way you ask the question. You're right. And let me ask you about another Knicks player. So the Knicks are 2-7 in their last nine games. Kristaps Porzingis says he's exhausted. You think the Knicks have put too much on his plate at 22 with no more Carmelo? What do you make of that situation?
Well, first of all, I think most players should embrace that. So I don't think that's something that you put out there publicly. I don't think it sounds right. I mean, to me, it sounded right. Remember, Alex, we spoke about this for a couple of weeks ago about Hassan Whiteside. I'm not coming back till I'm 100%.
Right.
You can think something. It doesn't mean you have to say something. And sometimes what you're thinking can be totally honest and totally candid, but it doesn't play well in what's expected of you and the perception of you. So with Hassan Whiteside, $98 million player, get your butt out there at 80%, 90%. Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn of the future. Unicorns don't get tired. I know that for a fact. So if you're going to be the unicorn, you can't get tired. I understand what he's saying. The game against the Heat tomorrow will be the third game in four nights for the Knicks. With no more four games in five nights, that's as grueling a schedule as you get. So I understand that coming after the holiday season, being back on the road. But you know what? The Knicks were gifted a favorable early schedule with a ton of home games to build up their confidence. So I understand what Porzingis is saying. I don't think there's a lot of support in that team. I look at that starting lineup, and I'm like, oh my God, Lance Thomas and some of the stuff, and Courtney Lee and what they're starting, and Jared Jack. I understand how much is being counted on him. I think that's when you go to the training room and say, I'm really tired, what can you do? That's when you go to the team of Seuss and say, I'm really tired, what can I do? That's when you swing the door closed in Jeff Hornacek's office and you say, you know what? Can you cut me down a couple of minutes a game? I think I'm hurting the team instead of helping a team, which is a form of leadership also. That's what you do. To me, that's how you play it. Because I hate to say it, Alex, but I am part of it. And the way the media is now, they're looking for that little morsel, that little nugget, the little thing they can run from. And Kristaps Porzingis is saying he's tired. That plays well in any media outlet.
Ira, how many players do you think are savvy enough, because maybe they do so many interviews, or well-spoken enough to avoid those traps? Because I feel like it'd be a lot harder to trap a guy like LeBron James into something like that, although he has made some statements over the years that have raised some eyebrows, maybe by design. But like, is there like a player in every locker room who can kind of avoid those leading questions, or how does that work?
Well, first of all, I don't want to overstate it. I don't know if any of these are leading questions, so I don't want to put it out there as that either. I think everyone has a responsibility also, but I also think it's the moment. I've always felt this. I run in after a game. 10 minutes is the league limit where the locker room has to open. Coaches come out before that. Alex, think about some of your worst shows. No offense, I'm sure there are not many of them, maybe one or two a year.
One or two a week, but sure, yeah.
Or when you just have a really bad night or something. Would you want someone running right up to you 10 minutes later with a microphone saying, tell me everything, tell me what's going on, are you unhappy, are you disappointed? It's unique. Mickey Arison once spoke about this, that he's overseeing Carnival Corporation, so much larger in scope than even the investment in the Miami Heat. But no one's running up to him every 5 minutes asking him, so what do you think now, what do you think now, what do you think now? Take tomorrow as the perfect example. The Miami Heat have a game day against the Knicks. Eric Spoelstra will meet with the media. I won't be there. I don't keep running back to the arena, but he'll meet with the media at about 11:30, noon or so. He'll talk to them. Then before the game tomorrow at 6:15 at American Airlines Arena, he'll address the media again. Then after the game tomorrow, about 10:30 or so, he'll address the media again. Many of the players will do the same in those three time frames also. That's a lot of responsibility to be careful and mark every single word you have. So that's the whole point of it. Eventually something comes out. Just because there almost becomes an interview fatigue. And what happens now with Twitter and with Facebook and with instant stories popping up on the web, you wind up with a little morsel becomes something truly scrumptious.
We are talking with Ira Winterman, covers the Miami Heat in the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, another Heat victory last night. Another big game from Kelly Olynyk, 25-13. And I notice, Ira, you talk about criticisms. A lot of Heat fans have kind of quieted down on criticizing Kelly Olynyk and his big contract with the way he's been playing. What has Eric Spoelstra been saying about Olynyk's emergence?
He said it again today. He said, I found a player who was fascinating last season to me when he played with the Celtics and in previous years. I sat down with him in July, and I told him, we can get something more out of you. Can you buy into our culture? Do you want to be more? And Kelly Olynyk said, yes, I would very much embrace that. And that's what you're seeing. And it takes a while. And it's really interesting for all these people who wanted to trade everyone when they were bums in the Heat for three games under 500. When you look at last summer's signings, I don't think anyone's questioning that Kelly Olynyk at 4 years at $50 million in today's crazy NBA economy is a fine deal for the Heat. Even James Johnson, a guy who battled through injury, came back with a good game yesterday after missing six of the previous seven. You can see what he does for this Heat team. So I think the sort of pendulum has now swung to Deion Waiters and the questions about him, and will he be healthy enough? Does he move the ball enough in this offense? So, you know, it's funny how the pendulum swings back and forth depending on the moment, but I think Kelly Olynyk is past that now because, you know what, Alex? If he does have an off game coming up, maybe against the Knicks tomorrow, the Jazz on Sunday, or when the Heat go back out on the road, I think Heat fans can at least look back at this week and say, oh, yeah, but I remember he also can do that, that, and that. So I think Kelly Olynyk very much has gotten himself off the hot seat. But because of who this team is and the way it is and the media and everything else, there's always someone else who then moves onto the hot seat.
Yeah, Ira, as I was in studio last night, I'm working on the Hurricanes basketball broadcast, and I'm watching the Heat game on the other TV, and I saw the Heat doing a lot of things offensively that Jim Larrañaga's team were failing to do, like the 29 assists for the Heat last night, matching his season high. They hit 17 three-pointers yesterday. What have been some of the keys to the offense really coming together and getting so much more in sync for this Heat team?
Well, no, that's interesting because you make an interesting point, because I was listening to Joe Z driving home, and Joe was just apoplectic. I don't know. I can't get the word out right now. Anyway,
close enough.
Yes, he was. I'm sorry there. I'm just losing it for a second here. He was so upset. I know that's the better word to go with the turnovers by the Canes. And I'm like, yeah, Josie, I've been there. And now the Heat, when they make the smart play and the turnovers are down, last night just 12 turnovers, and they move the ball, and they move it from good to better to best shots, you can see the difference. You can see what happens to this team when they wind up playing more of a team style. And obviously the Canes tried last night, got loaded up on turnovers, weren't getting the big stops. You know, it's just a thing. When you find yourself, when you find your players, the Canes dealing now with some injuries, that's what makes a difference. The Heat right now are finding their stride, but, and I will caution this also, it also has to do with scheduling. And the Canes early in the season, with this softer, I think you would agree, non-conference schedule, the Heat are beating teams they should beat right now. I mean, yes, they had that victory over Boston on the 20th of December, but you should beat Dallas. You should beat Orlando. You should beat Orlando again. At home, you should beat Detroit. You should beat New York. You should beat Utah. These are the games you have to get. This is the soft part of their quote-unquote conference schedule, because, again, after Sunday against Utah, 7 of the next 8 games are on the road. Tough road games in Toronto, in Houston, in Milwaukee. So they're going to have challenges there also. You've got to fatten up right now on sort of the soft part of the schedule. And they're doing that, as they should have before. And he's still going to look at the games like Brooklyn and others that slipped away.
And Ira, on the health of the team, I see Waiters and Winslow out again tomorrow. But Winslow back in practice, how close is he?
I don't think he's very close at all, because the first thing Eric Spoelstra does is say this is his first time back in practice, and the second thing he does is caution us this was not a contact practice. Mm. This was not a training camp practice. This was not a full all-out pads practice. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. He has a strained left knee. I understand that. No one has mentioned surgery. He's out there shooting all the time. We see him after practice is shooting. That you think a guy like that is ready, I don't know. I remember last year when he had the wrist injury also. It came after a very frustrating start to the season for him, and they shut him down so he can get his confidence back. Is that what this is all about? Is it the fact that, one, they are playing better without Justice? I'm not trying to be cold. I'm not saying that he won't still go on and have a terrific NBA career, but right now they're playing better without Justice. And again, you know, I'd almost ask you this, Alex. If Justice Winslow does come back, let's say miraculously he comes back tomorrow or whatever, who does he play ahead of?
Nobody. Not with the way they're playing right now.
Right. Tyler Johnson's playing well. Wayne Ellington has proven to be essential on this team. As it is, you're bringing James Johnson back also. That I really think, if people want to go through the exercise at home, if you're not if you're driving, but if you're sitting at home, and you were to list your Heat players in terms of value to your perceived value to this team, I'm not so sure that Justice doesn't wind up, unfortunately, right now as a 10th or 11th man. It's not that hard of an exercise, and it's not that hard to see it. So I just wonder if they're not just slow playing this whole thing because things are going well enough without.
Ira, do you turn the heat on in your house when the weather is like this, or are you a man's man like me and you tough it out?
You know, here's the difference. A lot of people in South Florida who are doing this or toughing it out, you know, the difference to me is I've traveled so much. I've already been to the winter. I've already been through the cold. I've already packed the snow hat and the gloves. That, to me, this is a refreshing break.
That's
I already checked it. I checked the temperatures. I'm in Toronto next week. I'm in Indiana next week. And the week after, I'm in Milwaukee. I'm in Chicago. I'm in Brooklyn. So, if anything, to me, the air conditioning might go on for a little while.
See, this is a man's man right here. Don't try and downplay it, Ira, by detailing your travels. You are a man's man. Embrace it, my friend.
I mean, even today I'm driving and they talk about cold weather and I look at the car thermometer and it's 62 degrees. I'm like, really? Really? This is an all-out panic? And then I honestly am sitting at home. I've been watching the Weather Channel. I mean, when they call something a super winter storm bomb or something, you know, winter storm
bomb. The bomb cyclone,
like,
is what it's
yeah,
called.
Bomb cyclone. First of all, what a great name for a team. You know, wouldn't you, Alex, don't you think your team would be better if the next NHL team is the Bomb Cyclones?
I feel like that's probably already the name of a Chinese basketball team, the Bomb Cyclones.
Yes, exactly. And probably one that Michael Beasley has played for while eating steak soup, but that's another story. But I'm saying I want to play for the Bomb Cyclones. I know Vegas had to go something, you know, with the Knights and all that and the Golden. I understand all that. But I think the next team in should be the Bomb Cyclones.
What an amazing job this man does. Ira Winderman, check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel and check him out on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. And, of course, submit your questions to Ask Ira.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.